Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Happy Hour here. We've got Jonna Spilbor, we've got Carol Pesci, we've got me, that guy that they talk about on occasion, and we've got another show for you today, and a guest, Carol, you were telling me before we started recording here, that has a very interesting new book.
Yes, so coming up after the break, we will be speaking with self-proclaimed happiness hussy, Christy Holtz. She's a coach. I know, me too. She's a coach. She was on our show a little over a year ago. She's the author of the book Unstuck for Women. And she is coming on to talk to us about a new book that's coming out. I think it just dropped yesterday, called Run for Your Life, Lessons Learned from Going the Distance. Now, she's not the only author. This is a compilation of stories around people in a runner's community, and they tell some pretty dramatic stories of the role that running plays in their lives. And interesting enough, the stories I've read so far, it's less about the physical, about what it does for you mentally and emotionally. So she's going to coach us to happiness a little bit and talk about her story and role writing this book. And she's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yes, very cool indeed. So I'm looking forward to hearing from her, and also, you know, maybe how she ties all those stories together as well. So Jonna Spilbor, just to let you you folks out there in the audience know, I think there's eight of you now.
We hit double digits, Frankenberry. Come on.
You know, you guys keep reminding me of double digits, and I don't know, man. You know, in the world we live in, you got to show me some proof, peoples. But because people are making stuff up all the time these days. Anyway, Jonna, in case you're curious, every week she logs into our Zoom sessions here with a different alias. So this week, Jonna has logged in with a mythological character. So,
I have.
Yes. What is your reference to this particular beast all about there, Jonna? And I will let you tell the audience what that beast is.
And then you can tell them what your guess was before we came on air as to what it meant.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So, you want me to tell them what the name of my mythological, alter ego is today?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me just, in my defense, I'm using this alter ego a little bit loosely, and I have decided to log in as Cyclops. Right. And the reason I'm logging in as Cyclops is, as you off the air eventually guessed, there's an issue with one of my eyeballs. Yes. You went rogue. Like, Cyclops was the character that had like one giant eyeball in the center of his forehead, Frankenberry.
Right. No, I know that.
You interpreted my alter ego today as having something in the middle of my forehead, not necessarily an eyeball. And that's where you went wrong.
Right. Now, is there a particular reason you're not going to say that I said?
And it wasn't a unicorn horn.
Yeah. Is there any reason you're not going to say the word zit? Or is that another one of the words that makes Jonna crazy?
Lordy. Yep. He loves to push your buttons.
Did you hear that too there, Carol? She made sounds like a cat's making right before a puke.
I was laughing too hard. I didn't hear it.
Oh, God. Yeah. So please, you were very wrong in your initial assessment, FB. But I will tell you why I am Cyclops today. And that is because, well, let me start with the fun part. Over last weekend, I went to go see Jerry Seinfeld in New York City. And he was very, very, it was so very cool because it was like meeting Jerry Seinfeld. And when I tell you that the Jerry Seinfeld that we used to watch, you know, whatever it was, every Thursday night in the 90s or whenever his original show was on, that is who was on the stage. It was really neat. It was like actually meeting him. Or let me just say, the show About Nothing was really about him. And that's kind of like what he was genuinely like when we were in the audience watching his one-man show. It was really, really cool. So,
and how did your cousin like the surprise? Because we talked about this on air last week that you had this.
That was her birthday surprise, right?
Yes, it was her birthday surprise, and I kept it a secret for like 2 months, and it worked. She was genuinely surprised, and it was so cool because she was having we're celebrating a big birthday for her. It's coming up next week, but this was a little early. And when we kept it a secret until we got to the theater and we get in this line to come in, and she looks up at the marquee and she was like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. She's like, and are you kidding me? Yeah, it was great.
Great. And how did transportation work out?
Perfectly. It worked out absolutely perfectly. One little sidebar that I got a little ticked off at, but it just mildly. And that was a couple weeks ago, we talked about how if I didn't need to change the reservation, I wouldn't have had one at all. And that would have been a disaster. But we averted that disaster. Well, when I made the reservation, you know, sometimes when you make these reservations, they include everything, the tolls, the tax, the tip, all of it.
Oh, yes. I'm so aware of that for all the times that I rent cars. And I make sure that I've got extra cash in my pocket for the driver, too. Thank you.
Just so you know, that happens, Frankenberry. And so this was one of those times where it said everything is included. You're not going to be charged anything else. And it made sense based on the price. Okay, fine. But when I got out of the car, when we got to the city for the first ride, I said to him, hey, the company said that everything was included. I'm just making sure that you know that I know. And he got this look on his face like, what are you talking about?
Oh, no.
Uh-huh. And then I tried to explain it to him. And I'm like, look. And so I handed him some extra money, which if the tip was not included, it would have been a short tip. But with the tip being included, it was like, woo, you know, jackpot.
Okay. Yep.
So I handed him a little extra money. And I said, look, if I am wrong and the tip is not included, your company needs to tell me and I will make this right. But when he saw what I was giving him, he's like, no, this is fine. This is good. It's all good. He went from wah, wah to no. Perfect. So, yeah. So that was that. But so prior to getting to the city and having a great time dinner and seeing Jerry Seinfeld, a couple of days before this big event, which I had planned, as mentioned, 2 months ago, right? So like, I didn't want anything catastrophic to happen. A lot can happen in a couple months. A couple of days before the event, I was laying in bed and I go to rub my eye. And when I rub my eye, you know how when Frankenberry, you won't relate to this, but there's a lot of women out of our like 18 fans that will relate. If you've ever,
Jonna, do you realize how you just prefaced that? you know, Frankenberry, you're not going to get this because it's only about women. But you know, Frankenberry. No, I don't. So now I guess you have to tell me. Go ahead. Yeah, but you said that like I'm, you know, like I'm part of the gang. Like, oh,
you are.
You'll understand.
Okay, fine. Anyway, the women out there will appreciate that. If you've ever put your hair up in a ponytail for an extended period of time, sometimes when you take out the scrunchie or whatever is holding your hair into a clump, your hair follicles will actually hurt. Like when you go to move your hair.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Coolie, right? So, okay. So that feeling on the top of your head is what I was experiencing in my eyelashes when I rubbed my eye. It was like where my eyelashes went into my eyelid, that little tiny strip of real estate on your face was killing me. And I'm like, what? But only on one eye. And I'm like, well, that's a fine how do you do? Because obviously I don't put my eyelashes in a scrunchie. So I ignored it and went to sleep.
Obviously.
And then the next morning I woke up and lo and behold, my eyelashes were still rebelling. And I had this pain where my eyelashes meet my eyelid, but nothing. Like it's not red. It's not swollen. It just hurts. And so this goes on for a couple more days. And I'm trying my best to just ignore it out of my life because I know I've got this party coming up and I don't want to look like I've got something wrong with my face. Well, lo and behold, the day of, which was last Saturday, I wake up and my right eye is swollen on top, underneath, all around, on my eyelid, all over the place. And I have no idea what's causing it, and it hurts and it itches and it stings. And I've got like 5 or 6 hours to get my act together and cover it up so nobody notices. So I decide that
I'm dressed like a pirate.
I know, right? Because I was thinking of a patch. I was thinking of a patch, but I'm like, no, I don't have any outfits that go with a patch. Actually, I don't even have a patch.
Oh gosh.
So yeah, that's a fashion choice you never thought about, huh?
No, I haven't. So I get a little desperate. I'm like, all right, I got 5 or 6 hours. I'm not gonna put any makeup on my face. I'm not gonna put any makeup on this eye. I'm gonna put some cortisone on it. I'm gonna put some medication on it.
Cortisone?
Yeah. I have special cortisone from not from having an eye thing, but you know, once in a while when you have to go to
the
doctor.
Allocort.
Yeah, exactly. And so I figured that you're familiar?
Yep.
It's good for when you go to the Botox doctor and you walk out with a Hitler mustache that you didn't intend. You know? So I got that on. So I look like a real peach, you know, no makeup. My hair is all messed up. I got Allocort gluing my right eye shut. I'm guasha-ing. I'm guasha-ing my cheek. For anybody that doesn't know, that's a special cold stone that you use to move your lymph nodes. Like, I'm doing all that.
Thank God you cleared that up for me.
Yep, that's news to me.
When it occurs to me that people are going to be coming over, so I got to take out my garbage. And I said, well...
That's usually, I'm like, oh, people are going to be here soon. I better take the garbage out.
But you guys know... I don't take the garbage out without putting on makeup and a bra and heels. Because why? Because
of course you don't.
If I don't do those things, you guys, something terrible is going to happen. But I couldn't. This was such a thing that I'm like, I just have to take a chance and go out there without any makeup and without any high heels and without any bra. And I'm just going to run to the garbage. I'm going to throw the garbage in. I'm going to run back. It's going to be great. No one's going to see me. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. Who's going to be out? So I do. I get my garbage. I got probably 2 different shoes on. I throw on a jacket, Cyclops, cortisone cream, smear it all over my right eye. I go running out to the garbage can. I lift the lid. I go to throw the garbage in the garbage can when all of a sudden I hear, "Hi, Jonna." No, please, no. Who could this be? No.
And now your garbage can's right up against the house, right? Or do you leave them out at the
At the end of the driveway.
All the time.
Or the beginning of the driveway.
I see. Okay.
It used to be by my house. And then I moved them forever to their permanent home at the end.
Lesson learned.
I know. So it happened to be my very nice neighbor across the street, who is the one, by the way, remember when I had a mystery person who was putting my garbage cans back?
Yeah.
Well, that was him. Very nice neighbor. He actually made me a delicious cheesecake for Christmas. Anyway, so I really like him. I just did not want to see him in that particular moment. And because I like him so much, I could not be rude and just run away like, "I don't hear you. I didn't hear you. Did you say my name? I didn't hear you." Like, so I had to stop. I had to stop and I had to look him in the face.
Oh, God.
I had to look him in the face and have a conversation the whole time, dying inside. I was dying inside.
Oh, my God. The drama. What an awful situation. I'm sorry. Do you want to put your head on my shoulder? I'll give you a hug.
I'm with Jonna on this one.
Thank you.
I would be mortified as well.
He probably thinks I'm a real jerk because I decided to have a conversation with the side of my face that I didn't have the cortisone on.
Jonna, I'm just going to give you the heads up. But if there's anybody in this world that thinks that you are a jerk for having a conversation with them just simply because you've got a little bit of cream on your eye because there's an issue with your eye, I don't want to meet that person. Okay, Jonna,
this is so besides the point, Frankenberry.
Yeah, you're totally not getting it. But imagine, all right, Frankenberry.
Did you have this conversation out of the left side of your head?
Thank you.
Imagine what, Jonna, please.
Imagine. I walk into the studio right now. I walk in, knock, knock, and you're like, "Who's there?"
I taste like a crab.
And then instead of looking you eye to eye, I take the left side of my face.
And I put it in your face. And I go, hi, Benjamin. How are you tonight? Like, what are you going to think about me?
Well, I'm not going to think you're a jerk. I might think you're a bit of a nutter and that you're just acting weird and that I'll try to talk you down off the weird ledge, but I'm not going to think that you're a jerk.
Well, thank you.
You're
zeroing in on that one word. I've got the whole scene in my head and I'm loving it.
Anywho, I managed to have a conversation out of the left side of my face, hoping that my very nice neighbor who invited me to a party next weekend didn't notice the calamity that was going on with my eyeball and my unwashed hair and my mismatched shoes, hoping that he didn't notice.
He's given you a redemption opportunity at the party. You can show up looking like $1.5 million.
I hope so.
But so what's going on with your eyeball?
So I don't know. So it's getting slightly, I will say this, it is slightly better. But it is not 100% better, and it's going on like a week now.
So going to go see an eye doctor?
I was going to say, you know, there are doctors for these types of things.
No. I'm changing my mascara. You know, I think it's makeup related. I ain't going to no doctor. I ain't going.
That damn science and medicine. I'm not doing that.
I'm doing a little homeopathic home remedies, and it's getting better. So I figure I'll live and still look good. And if I don't, I'll still look good. So it's okay. It's all right.
I'll still look good. There's that good inner self-talk
exactly.
Working there.
That's all that matters.
So how long were you stuck at the end of the driveway talking to him?
Oh, man, at least 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Which, thank you, Barry.
It's a lifetime.
She must have wanted to run for her life.
I know.
Come on. Just get to the segue, will you?
That was it.
That was it. Okay. I didn't. I couldn't remember the title of a book, for God's sake.
You keep missing the segues, Frankenberry.
That's because I don't remember the titles of the books or anything like that. I'm learning this stuff brand new 20 minutes earlier.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Coming up after the break, we will have a repeat guest. She dubs herself the Happiness Hussy. She is a coach. Her name is Christy Holt. She was on our show a little over a year ago with her book Unstuck for Women. And she is coming today to talk to us about, she's collaborated on a book called Run for Your Life, Lessons Learned from Going the Distance. And it's a compilation of stories of people in a running community. And some of them are really, like the first story that's in the book is about a woman who escaped Ukraine with her 3-year-old child and didn't see her husband for a year. And the role running plays in their life and what it does for them mentally and emotionally. And Christy is going to come and talk to us about her story in that book.
All right. That sounds good. And yes, I do note the first time when I was able to send out the invite for the show here that I love her email because it says Happiness Hussy.
In it, yeah.
You can email me. That's at Happiness Hussy. And if she's able to say that with a straight face, I commend her. She is on the way next. You're listening to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Fesci and this dude. And we will be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we are back here at Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself. And it's segment number two. And of course, segment number two is where we get to our guest. And our guest today has a very, very cool book that she just came out with or is just coming out. And it's a very cool approach, very cool concept. And Carol, please introduce us to Christy Holt.
Yes. Yeah, so Christy was on our show a little over a year ago. She is a self-proclaimed happiness hussy. She's an adventure guide. She's the podcast host. The name of her podcast is Create Your Happy. It's inspiration for conscious women. She's the author of Unstuck for Women. That's what she came to talk to us a little over a year ago when she released that book. She's a mentor. She uses her signature create method to help people discover what they need to unlearn. It's a great line from her story in her upcoming book I want to talk to her about. She's really all about helping people live their best life. She's real. She shares authentically her whole self with us, and she's a lot of fun. So she is here to talk to us about her newest book, Run for Your Life. And it's a compilation of stories for people in the running community And what I've read so far, it's really more about what it does for them mentally and emotionally and the stories that they've been through. So, Christy, welcome back to our show.
Thank you so much for having me back. It is an absolute pleasure to be here to share a little bit about Run for Your Life with your audience. I am so excited about this incredible book. When my co-publisher and I came together, we realized that we both had a history of running. And what we also realized at that time was that runners love to share their stories, right? And it's not just about the running, it's about life. So we're super excited to put this work out into the world and share all of these incredible lessons.
So in this, I felt like this book was sort of on the, on the lines of The Chicken Soup for the Soul, where, okay, there's a theme, there's a central message or something to make these all have something to do with each other, but they're individual stories from different people. So what was the name of your story, and give us the background of the role that running, that how you run for your life?
Yeah, my story is called Chasing Shadows, Finding Love. And the very short version of what it's kind of about is me in my life running away from a difficult marriage, running away from essentially myself and my problems. And essentially, the story has a massive turnaround when, in the end, I actually met my most incredible partner at a marathon, while running a marathon. And so running had a very instrumental piece in my life, where initially it was sort of an escape. And eventually it led me back to what I had been running from all along, which was truly myself. And so essentially running is the core theme of the book, but you'll find that all of the stories essentially sort of follow this pattern where it's about the running, but it's also simultaneously not about the running.
That is Talk cute. A little bit more, Christy, if you can, about running. You use a metaphor, like you run for the health of it and how it makes you feel emotionally, physically. But you really recognized what you were running away from. It was like you were trying to avoid acknowledging certain things about yourself and your life, right?
Yeah, things were not great at home when I picked up running. And while it might have, looked healthy on the surface to pick up a sport and, get out and get some physical activity, and it certainly was a great stress reliever, but I soon began to recognize that I was really running away from and avoiding my life at home. So if there was, a conflict, a brewing, I had to go for a run. If there was anxiety, I had to go for a run. If there was, a time where my ex at the time was, in a mood, I had to go for a run. And so instead of facing all of the things that I was experiencing in my life, instead of facing the overwhelm and the anxiety, I was running from it. And eventually I've come to recognize that this running was a metaphor for how I was looking at my life. And like I said, I realized I actually couldn't run from myself. So that is the thing, is no matter how far and fast you run, you really cannot run away from yourself. And everywhere I went, there I was. So eventually I had to really take a look at what was going on. I couldn't avoid, facing those difficult truths. And when it came down to it, I realized that I was the common denominator, essentially, in everything that was going on in my life that I was trying to run away from. And so by recognizing my role and, what I actually call taking radical responsibility for myself, I really did reach a turnaround point and started to see things a whole lot differently.
That is so amazing, Christy. This is Jonna. When you were speaking, you actually said this, but I was thinking wherever you go, there you are, right? Yeah. Because so many of us, I guess you should consider yourself also very lucky that you chose, before you figured out how to figure yourself out, that you chose running as opposed to so many people will choose alcohol, drugs, yeah, or something that's not as good for you. Although running, I guess if you do it too much, could also have its effect. But what for a sure. way to be self-reflective. And because I think running, at least for you, and I know like when I enjoy running myself, it really is a time where I kind of look within, and I try to figure stuff out. Were you doing that? I mean, that how you got to figure out what the heck was really going on with you?
I mean, not initially. Initially, I discovered that I couldn't handle that voice within. And so instead of allowing myself to spend that time with myself, I started running with other people so that I could further distract myself. So while, yes, the physical activity, you know, could be seen as quite a healthy option, at least, as you say, compared to other potential vices. And in full disclosure, I was definitely doing some other things like binging Netflix and having probably a little too much wine from time to time. But, you know, eventually I don't even know exactly what the exact moment in the running was, but I realized I couldn't run from myself. And, you know, I think that it happened probably somewhere on the journey to this marathon and through my divorce. And I realized that I had to do something differently. I had to look at myself and I had to choose myself, essentially. And the process of whether I stayed or left my marriage really required me to take that deep look within. And you know, it was the hardest decision of my entire life. You know, I have kids and it was definitely not a decision that I took lightly. But I came to the conclusion that my kids needed someone who was going to lead the way, who was going to show them, who was going to essentially give myself permission to be authentically me and make the choices that were aligned and right, correct for me, so that they could do the same. And so that we could all create a happy life. You know, that was sort of the main conclusion I had come to and that I had been avoiding up until that point.
Very inspiring.
You answered the question before. I was just going to say, what was the point? You know, you say you're not really sure. I want to read a line from your story in that is part of the compilation in Run for Your Life. Leaning into authenticity is less about discovering who we are than it is about stripping away all that we are not.
Yeah.
You caused me a pause there, sister. When I read that, I think, and this is, you know, between the lines in your story as well, that we play roles, right? Mm-hmm. And whether that's mommy, whether that's wife, whatever that is. And we become as adults so accustomed to living in a way that gets us seen, or we think we'll get us seen positively or accepted by people around us, takes us away from our true selves. And I think that's what we're all on a journey to get back to. You got to get back to that. When we were kids and it's just like, we are who we are and take me as I am and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we spend our whole lives, you know, adhering to the rules of society and taking on, you know, the identities that other people have given us, whether knowingly or unknowingly. And what happens is, especially I find, you know, I speak with a lot of women in what I do. And so what I really discovered is that so many women have become people pleasers in an effort to, you know, live up to this quote unquote good girl conditioning that we've all been through, where we're meant to be the nurturers. We're meant to be soft and gentle and kind and loving and, you know, nurturing above all else. And what this often leads to is self-abandonment. And so we really can lose track of who we authentically are at our core when we're taking on all of these roles in an attempt to get other people to accept us, to approve of us, to love us, to actually truly see and hear us. We actually have to become our authentic selves, because if we're not actually showing up as who we truly are, if we're wearing these masks and people pleasing and performing for the purposes of getting this acceptance and love from other people, we're actually missing the mark, because there will always be this little part of us that says, if only they knew the real me, they might not really, you know, feel the same way. And so unless we are, you know, speaking as our authentic self, there's always that little gap that might remain. And so the secret to truly finding unconditional love and acceptance is truly showing up as yourself, fully authentically expressed as yourself, because that is the only way you can be completely seen. And to be completely seen is required for us to be unconditionally loved and accepted.
Christy, I think the hard part about that for so many people, and me included, and I agree with you 100%, but the hard part of that is figuring out what your authentic self is. Like for me, I don't think that's always easy because of what you said, because we kind of, especially women, we grow up to be people pleasers. We kind of fall into this lane. And when get uncomfortable. We're like, why am I so uncomfortable? And then you have to figure out, well, it's because this is not really who I am or not who I want to be. And that can be the longest part of the journey to happiness, in my opinion. But once you get there, once you figure that out, I think it does get easier, or it can get a lot easier.
Yeah, and absolutely. There are signs all around us. And when we are feeling, you know, as people will say, some type of way where there is a level of discomfort, that's just a signal to us, right? It's a signpost, if you will, that there's something maybe out of alignment. And that's not to say you're good or bad or right or wrong or anything. It's really unattached to any of those judgments. It's just simply that something is not quite, you know, correct for you. And so if you are willing, and it does absolutely require a fair amount of courage to do this, looking inward, as I well know and shared in my story, it takes a bit of courage to look within. But if we're willing, if we're, you know, open to remaining a bit curious about what is truly going on within, we can find the answers. And the truth is, the answers are never out there. They're not going to be found out in the world. No matter how far or fast you run, you're not going to find the answers out there, because your answers truly, your truth only exists within you. And so, you know, creating this space to sit with yourself, to ask yourself meaningful questions, to practice compassionate inquiry is a complete game changer, because it will help you to start observing, well, hold on a minute. Am I really that person? Do I really like to, you know, express myself in that way? Is that something that I enjoy doing? Is that something that's bringing me joy, peace, love, happiness? Because if it's not, it just might not be for you. And it's okay to start stepping away from some of those things that aren't, in order to make space for the experiences and the people that are truly for you.
So, Christy, I think you talk a little bit more in depth in your first book, Unstuck, about this. If someone's listening right now and they're just not happy with themselves, they're not happy with their life, whether they realize yet it's not purely what's happening around them, it's what's going on inside them. Maybe they feel this low level anxiety or just discontent, even if maybe the things around them seem to look good, right? I've been in that place, but still feeling that discontent inside. Is that the first step, is to openly be curious with yourself? You said some the term you use, thought-provoking, or some deep questions. Does your book Unstuck? That does. Or doesn't it offer suggestions for questions to start unearthing that?
Well, I do have a companion journal that goes along with Unstuck that really is a 90-day self-discovery journey. And it is a journey of compassionate inquiry, of learning to ask yourself the questions to truly rediscover, you know, because it's not about like creating a new version of you. A lot of people think like, oh, I need to become this new version of myself and step into some new, you know, new better me. And the truth is, you don't have to do anything to become this person. You actually just need to be this person. You are already, you know, the person that you long to be, that you already are that person. And so it's a matter of really being. And in Unstuck for Women, I really share a lot of my strategies for getting out of the thought and emotional spirals that distract us from that state of being. Because when we have, you know, we'll have a thought, or we'll maybe even have an emotion, and we start labeling it, we start building judgments and stories around it, we can end up in a spiral of, you know, discomfort, pain, suffering really quickly. And so if we can avoid getting sucked into that downward spiral, we can actually, you know, experience that state of being this version of ourselves that we want to be. It allows us to move from the survival mode reactivity to consciously choosing, how do I want to show up in this moment? And how, you know, how do I want to be as a human, as this incredible being here having this human experience? And it allows us to really step back into our power.
Absolutely. Conscious choice is the game changer. And I think a lot of people who are stuck, women especially who are stuck, they're stuck because they haven't figured that piece of it out. But it can be just as easy as you just said, like making the conscious choice. Like, this doesn't feel good. What would feel good? That? Okay, let me do that instead. I mean, you know, and then keep stringing those moments together. I 100% agree with you.
And it's not so easy, because, you know, to be really clear, the way that our brains work, it doesn't really you know, it's not conducive to this, because when we're in that survival mode functioning, our brain, I like to kind of say, goes on power save mode. So we're not really able to see all of the incredible possibilities and opportunities that we could consciously choose from. It actually often filters us down into seeing only what is familiar, because our brain mechanism, our RAS, actually is functioning and in the survival mode to survive, right? So we're focused on, you know, essentially don't freaking die. That's the goal. And so all of the other extraneous, like amazing dreams and hopes and ideas and things that would bring us all this joy and happiness are just simply filtered out in favor of the things that would appear to be quote unquote safe, also known as familiar. And so it's, if you know, you're in this space and you're like, well, I don't see any choices to choose from, you know, I see you, because I know that when you're in that survival mode space, you often do not see the options. I know I was there and I didn't see them too. I was, you know, waiting, complaining, blaming. I could see all of my problems so clearly, and yet I didn't feel like I truly had any choices. And what shifted that ultimately was just seeing that I'm at the core of all of it actually reminded me of the power that I truly have. And if I'm at the core, if I'm the common denominator in the problems, guess what? I'm also the one who is in the seat of control for creating positive solutions. And so sometimes it just means that you need to take a few breaths to move through that emotion, avoiding the spiral, so that you can start to see, well, hold up a minute. Maybe there are a couple more choices than I initially thought. And that just, you know, that practice opens up all of the opportunities and possibilities, because they truly are infinite, right? There is actually no limit to the opportunities and possibilities that exist for you. It's just a matter of moving through the survival mode so that you can start to see them all.
And you're so right that when we're stressed out and quote unquote in survival mode, it's like the door slams shut, the window shut, pull the shades. You just can't even see those options. So the first step is that, like that spiral stopper that you talk about, recognize your thought patterns and put a pause to them and know that you can redirect them. You didn't specifically say this, but from everything I know about you so far, would you also agree that when we're feeling those things that don't feel good, that it's better to face them with non-resistance?
Oh, yes.
And sit with them a moment first. If you push against them, get angry, judge them. You did mention judging that. Yeah. We need to first allow ourselves to be human. Let that, what you're genuinely feeling, be there, and then shift, right?
Absolutely. Because what we resist actually persists. And that's, I don't know who to quote for that, but you know, that's a common saying out there. And it's true, because the more that you actually try to resist uncomfortable feelings, and in fact, the more that you try to cling to the positive feelings that you want to hang on to, both of those things keep you stuck, right? And so most of us would be okay with, you know, staying stuck in the positive, but it doesn't actually work that way. The more we cling to it, the more we are sort of like pushing it away from ourselves. It's sort of like this desperate energy that actually stops us from maintaining it. And plus, nothing is permanent. Everything is changing. Our emotions are always changing. And actually, just as you said, our absolute best bet is to allow them to just be, right? And we get into problems when we start trying to add meaning to them, when trying to understand them, because our human brains, you know, they're magnificent, of course, but they have this, you know, programming there that says, I want to understand all of the things. And so if there's a lack of information, well, you know what, we're going to grab it from our past and we are going to make ourselves understand it in some way, but we don't have the full picture when we're doing that. And so the trick is really truly to stop the spiral by just allowing those emotions, those initial thoughts and emotions, to just exist and not build a story upon them, right? Just observe, oh, I'm, you know, maybe I'm feeling a bit of a type of way, and just literally, like you said, just sit with it. You know, 30 to 90 seconds is all it takes for an emotion to move through. And I don't know if anybody else has ever noticed, but there are a lot of emotions that can feel, you know, like they might be more than one thing. For example, fear and excitement feel very, very similar in our body. So if you start to tell yourself it's one or the other, guess how quickly you can spiral into a positive direction or not, right? So allowing that emotion to, okay, I'm feeling I'm feeling something, and just allow it to be there. We don't have to create all of those stories, because it's the stories and the judgments and the meanings that actually keep us stuck in the loop of playing it over and over and over, and actually has those emotions sticking around. And if we resist it entirely, no, I'm absolutely not angry. I can't be angry. It's not safe for me to be angry. I'm not. Good girls aren't angry. If we try and stuff it down and we don't allow it just to exist, we actually store those emotions in our bodies. And guess what? They come out sideways in other ways when you least expect it, in a reactive response to what people often call triggers, you know, and it's not controlled. It's a survival mode response. It's not you choosing how to respond. And then, of course, we have the guilt and the shame and the feelings that all accompany that. And oof, we find ourselves in a downward spiral. And so in an attempt to avoid all of that, you can simply learn to sit with your emotions. And most of us just weren't taught this. We weren't, you know, given instruction on how to deal with our emotions. And they're actually incredibly wonderful. They're like a compass, right? Giving you some direction, like, this feels really good. Yes, more of this, please. This is, I'm on the right track, as opposed to all of the stories and meanings that we might be adding to it, right? And so if we can sit with it, we can actually glean that wisdom instead of keeping ourselves stuck in the past patterns that we have based on our memories and our experiences from the past.
I love that so much. In my second book, Hello Beautiful, which was really more about my internal struggle than an external struggle like in the first one, I actually talk about how there are valid aspects of ourselves. Sadness is valid. Anger is valid. Frustration, happiness, joy, all of them. They all deserve a seat at the table, but you got to decide who's running the show.
And who's driving the bus.
Yep. And when they have a voice. And how I learned the hard way, I've talked about this many times on the show, that I was the happiness person and I could never be sad. So anytime sadness came up, I'd shove it down, can't do that, judge it. Oh my God. And all it did was build. But a process of healing for me was to actually create a dialogue between me and that aspect of myself, as if I'm the CEO of my life. Yes, sadness, you play a role. You're here. I get you're not here to hurt me. You bring something valid to the table. And I actually dialogue. I know it sounds crazy, but I dialogue with it. How? What do you want to tell me? What are you here to show me? How are you here to help me? And this is what I suggest with other people. We're so used to banishing those things because positivity, I've learned, can be toxic. We need to sit with them and communicate and understand and learn and benefit, surprisingly.
Yeah. And often those, you know, quote unquote, uncomfortable emotions. Well, first of all, that discomfort comes from the meaning that we're adding to it. It's actually just information until we assign that meaning. But those uncomfortable emotions really are about keeping us safe, ultimately. Like, everything that, you know, our body is doing is to keep us safe and, you know, alive. So instead of trying to avoid those parts of us, just like you said, it's absolutely valuable to call that out and say, hey, like, I see you, sadness. Like, yes. I appreciate you. Thank you for, you know, trying to keep me safe. But, you know, I'm going to step in here and I am going to take over driving the bus. And it's okay. You can take a back seat for now because, you know, I see you. I love you. You're part of me. And I'm a magnificent human, complex with all of the emotions. And everyone can have a seat, right? It's just like you said about who's driving the bus.
Christy, I love how easily you make all of this make sense. You do. You make it make sense. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, she's lived it. I mean, you're trained as a coach, but you lived it yourself, as you talk about in running for your life. I mean, you were in an unhappy marriage. You had three young children. You played multiple roles there. You were unhappy. You were running from your problems and yourself. You realize this. You start exploring, getting curious, and choosing yourself as an example for your children. And again, you didn't take the decision lightly. But you started recognizing the value of you, what you want, what makes you happy. And what's kind of pretty amazing to me, too, as you share in your story, that literally on the last finish line of one of the marathons that you run, what are they called? A pace bunny or something? What are they called?
Yeah, a pacer, pace bunny. In this case, they were called a pace. He was called a pace
bunny. And you're running alongside this guy. yeah. who ultimately you fell in love with and have this beautiful relationship. And that happened, Christy, because you loved you first.
1,000%. It would absolutely never have happened had I not learned to love and accept myself wholly and completely, authentically as myself, because up until then I had been wearing a lot of masks, right? I had been, you know, performing and, you know, essentially pretending. And it, you know, it's not like people right. are like intentionally disingenuous. It's just that,
right.
you know, you're not willing to show all of yourself, right? So, you know, it's not like you're, you know, intentionally, you know, consciously trying to deceive people. And yet, you know, the outcome is that you do sort of end up, you know, not being completely yourself. And it is in some ways a bit of an emotional manipulation. And again, this is not about intention to do this. But if your intention is all about trying to get other people to see you a certain way, it is in effect, you know, an emotional manipulation. And so your
freedom fully comes.
Right, and it is exhausting. You know, leads to all sorts of overwhelm and anxiety. And that's, I shared a lot about that in my first book. But in, you know, in the end, when you can come to a relationship, and I'll tell you what, I was not looking for a relationship when I met my current partner. I was adamantly against having a relationship because I was very, very fresh out of, you know, my difficult marriage. And so I wasn't looking for anything. I was actually so content and so happy just being me that is actually, wow. I think, a catalyst for finding an incredible relationship and creating an incredible relationship, because I wasn't going to tolerate anything that wasn't a pure fit for me. And now this isn't about expecting anyone to be perfect. No one's perfect. We're all perfectly imperfect. And, you know, but recognizing that, hey, I'm good enough and I deserve to have a love that, you know, feels truly amazing to me, a relationship that looks the way that I feel would be, you know, quote unquote, perfect for me. And that was me choosing myself first.
You're such an inspiration. I love your story. We love your energy. And I could talk to you all day. We're wrapping up here with Christy Holt. She's a self-proclaimed happiness hussy, author of Unstuck for Women, and a contributor to a book that just dropped 2 days ago, Run for Your Life. Some of them are horrific stories, but lessons learned and the role that running plays in their lives. Christy, if people want to learn more about you, get your books, follow you, how do they do that?
The easiest way is to head over to coachchristyholt.com, and all of the information about all of the things should be fine there. You'll find Run for Your Life under the click down under the books menu tab.
Okay, Christy, congratulations again. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute blast.
Yes, thank you very much, Christy. And we are not done yet with Happy Hour this morning, so please stick around for segment number three. I promise you, it'll be a revelation. We'll be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time to Happy Hour here this morning with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello. Rankinberry.
So, Christy Holt, it was a nice day.
Johnny,
was nice.
You should have said, hello, Newman.
Yes, exactly. Like, yes, that would have been. And nice to have Christy Holt back again after about a year or so to talk about her new book. And the new book that she's very excited that she was saying at the end there about how she was able to collaborate with somebody on it.
Yeah, there's like 6 to 8, I think, different stories in there. It's kind of like the chicken soup for the soul. And they're all runners and they all have just powerful stories of what they've gone through and what the lessons that they've learned.
I like, you know, sometimes I get upset. I really wish we had longer sometimes with we really could keep going with Christy. And I'm excited about this book because I love those chicken soup for the soul type stories where you learn and live vicariously through someone else who might share some similar problems or instances with us.
It's one thing to learn something in theory, right? Like, so you can say in theory, we have the ability to stop negative thinking, pattern interrupt, and consciously choose our lives, right? So that's the theory. Mm-hmm. But then she takes it in this book, well, they all did in this book, Run for Your Life, and use actual stories. So it's not just the theory. It's like, how did I apply this lesson I learned to my life, and here's what happened.
Right. I mean, like, for instance, you know, you can have a theory that says it is possible to walk to the end of your driveway with a bag of garbage, just wearing a pair of sweatpants, you know, and a hat and a pair of sneakers, and not have to concern yourself with it. But then there is a real life example of what actually happens and how horrible that can turn out.
That you might have to talk out of the left side of your head.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm going to talk out of the left side of my face right now. Thanks a lot, Frankenberry. You're 100%. Yeah, save me.
We're back to that accent. It always ends up coming back to the Muggsy accent. Hey, Muggsy, you look kind of funny this morning with your garbage, damn Muggsy. What's going on with that side of your face?
Well, good luck with your eyeball.
I'm glad you guys are living vicariously through my pain. Thank you.
We have for years. It's not going to change now.
No, why would it?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, we're used to it. No, your drama usually ends up with our laughs. So,
well, I aim to please.
You're doing a good job.
Yes, you is.
All right,
well, kids, I think that's a wrap.
Okay, so again, thank you very much to Christy Holt for coming back and joining us here this morning. And for John Spillboard, for Carol Pesci, I am that dude named Frankenberry, and we'll be back again next week, same time, right here. So please make plans, you know, like bring a sandwich or something, you know, some drinks, and join us again. We'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.